In our last broadcast, we were talking about the matter of the scripture saying, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. And the Word of God has some things to say about the matter of drinking, and I want to just go over some of these, reading from an article that I wrote some time back. What does the Bible say about the use of alcohol? Like other practices, such as slavery or divorce, it is assumed without being encouraged. Because of impure water in many areas, wine was regarded as safer to drink. This is still true in certain parts of the world. But alcohol is regarded as a mind-altering drug, wine that makes glad the heart of man, Psalm 104:15. Wine will help a man forget his pain and suffering, Proverbs 31:6-7. But it does affect one's thinking and judgment. So the scripture says it is not for kings to drink wine, lest they drink and forget the law and pervert the justice. A warning for kings, do not drink, Proverbs 31:4-5. The priest must be sober and wise as he serves God and was forbidden to drink during his service, Leviticus 10:9. Now, Paul does encourage the use of a little wine by Timothy for his stomach's sake in 1 Timothy 5:23. He's cautioned about the use of water. He tells him, don't drink any longer water. Apparently, Timothy in his travels had illness from drinking impure water. It was unsafe then, as it is true in primitive areas today. Aside from this guarded encouragement for health reasons, Scripture is full of warnings about drink. The first mention of wine involves Noah's drunkenness and disgrace before his sons, Genesis 9:20-23. Later, Lot is made drunk by his daughters and is involved in incest, Genesis 19:30-38. The book of Proverbs has many warnings. Wine encourages violence, Proverbs 4:17. Wine is a mocker. Strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise, Proverbs 21. The love of wine is a cause of poverty, Proverbs 21:17. Look not thou upon the wine when it is red, when it sparkles in the cup, when it goes down smoothly. At the last it bites like a serpent and stings like an adder, Proverbs 23:31-32. Wine is spoken of as addictive. After a drinking bout and a brawl, complete with staggering and hallucinations, the drinker affirms, I will seek it yet again, Proverbs 23:35. This addiction will go to any extent for satisfaction. Joel says, they've sold a girl for wine that they may drink, Joel 3:3. Hosea cries, whoredom and wine and new wine take away understanding, Hosea 4:11. Habakkuk warns, wine is treacherous, Habakkuk 2:5. And the New Testament has many warnings against drunkenness, Romans 13:13. No drunkard shall inherit the kingdom of heaven, 1 Corinthians 6:10. The Christian is cautioned to find his joy and power in the Holy Spirit, not in wine, which is so often abused. If you are a Christian, is abstinence a valid option? In more advanced countries, the water is quite safe. In view of current medical discoveries, drinking is a health hazard. And there is no need, in most countries, to drink to avoid contaminated water, at least civilized countries. Remembering the body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, should not one keep it as well as possible? Considering the physical and spiritual needs of the world, is it wise to spend money on alcohol? There's yet another factor. Considering the abuse of drinking and danger of alcoholism, should the Christian, by his example, encourage others to drink? Paul says it is good neither to eat flesh nor to drink wine, if it causes a brother to stumble, Romans 14:21. Love here does not insist upon personal rights, but the well-being of others. No one will be offended by drinking water. For these and many other reasons, many Christians and many non-Christians choose not to drink. There are more reasons today than ever before not to consume alcoholic beverages. Perhaps you are not a Christian, and this is your way to relax and to feel happy. Many are problem drinkers to avoid pain in life. People drink because of unhappiness in marriage, failure in business, or guilt because of wrongdoing. Drinking cannot solve man's problems. Jesus Christ died to atone for sin and to enable mankind to know forgiveness and peace. God wants to forgive, but man must turn from sin to him in faith. And that concludes the reading of that part of the article. Now, to get back to Ephesians 5, the warning then, as a Christian, for you to be happy, for you to enjoy life, you do not have to turn to alcoholic beverages. You do not have to turn to something to help you forget your problems, to make you feel a little high, to loosen your inhibitions. He says, be filled with the Holy Spirit. If I turn to anything else for happiness, really what I'm saying is God is not enough. If I'm a Christian and I say, I can't really be happy, I can't cope with life, I can't really survive in the struggles of life without alcohol or without drugs, I am denying the sufficiency of my God. He says, be filled with the Spirit. Now, notice he doesn't say, plead with God that he may give you the Spirit. Because he's earlier said in Ephesians 1:13 that all believers are sealed by the Holy Spirit unto the day of redemption. If you are a believer, you have the Holy Spirit. And God wants us to know what we have, what our resources are. In Romans 8:9, he says, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. He's saying, if you don't have the Spirit, you don't really belong to the Lord Jesus. When you receive the Lord Jesus, you also receive the Holy Spirit. And he comes to indwell us, and he comes to be with us. Jesus said he'll abide with you forever. He'll never leave you. The Holy Spirit, what a privilege as a Christian for my body then to be indwelt by the Holy Spirit. And the apostle here, though, is saying there are things as a Christian that we can do which may offend the Holy Spirit, because he is a person. He's the third person of the Godhead. And as such, he can be offended. And so in Ephesians 4:30, he says, grieve not the Spirit of God. Don't make him sad. Don't grieve him by sin in your life. Don't grieve him by doing things that would not please the Lord. Don't wound him. Don't hurt his feelings. Don't cause him to, so to speak, withdraw into a corner. Don't have areas of your life that you exclude him from so that he is grieved. You know, I could have guests in my home, and I could say to them, now, here's your room, and we'd appreciate it if you just stay in your room. And the bathroom is here, but that's your room. The rest of the house is ours. Now, some people, why they don't say that in so many words, they imply it if you're a guest. And then others, if you go into their home, they'll say, now, listen, we want you to feel completely at home. Our home is your home. And you feel free to come out and relax in the living room to read. Feel free, you know, to spend time in the kitchen. If you get hungry, go ahead, raid the icebox, you know, raid the refrigerator. Our home is your home. We want you to feel at home in every part of our house. And then, as a guest, you really do feel accepted. You don't feel that there's any part of the house that you would be an intruder in if you started exploring, if you started just walking around. And I believe Paul here is saying, listen, you and your lives, allow the Holy Spirit complete access to every area. Don't withhold any part from Him. And we do this sometimes. Some people will say, okay, God, Sunday morning, 11 o'clock, yeah, that's the time now when you can have my life. 1 hour, I'll give it to you. I'll go to church, and I'll put some money in the offering, and I'll shake hands with the preacher, and that's the part of my life that you get, Lord. And the rest of it's mine. Sunday afternoon, it's mine to do with what I wish. If I want to watch a football game or if I want to do anything else, it's mine, my life. Monday morning, I go to business or I go out to work or whatever. It's my life. And I'll live it the way I wish. My ethics in business will be the same as everyone else. You got to make a living, don't you? And a lot of people will exclude God from big areas of their life. Here I think Paul is saying, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Give your life over to God. Give your body over to God. Allow God in every nook and cranny of your life. Don't keep Him out of any part of it. Don't have a closet where you have secret sins. Don't think for 1 minute that you can hide anything from God. You may exclude Him from parts of your life, but He still knows what's going on. You cannot hide from Him. What folly it is to think we can. What folly it is to think that we can pick up habits, we can do certain things, we can perhaps watch pornographic movies, television shows, things that we would not want our friends to know we're watching. And we think we're doing it secretly. God knows. God sees. It's foolish to think we can get away with anything or we can cover any sin. We can't do it. Thou, God, seest me. Scriptures. And so Paul here pleads and he says, listen, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Allow God into every part of your life. Find your joy in Him. Isn't God enough? Do you need something more than God to make you happy? Isn't He enough? Paul would say to you, be filled with the Holy Spirit and be happy in Him.